Blog Talk Radio.
You will do what you say. That is
you I come. Jehovah. Oh, that is why, that is why, that is why you are called Jehovah. That is why we call you. What you say you will do. You will do what you say. That is why, that is why. Come on, say it again. Say that is why, that is why you are called Jehovah. That is why you are called. What you say you will do, yes. Yes, Lord, that is why you are called Jehovah. Amen, amen. Oh, blessings and glory. With some thanksgiving and honor to the Lord, power and might must be unto my God, oh, forever and ever. Oh, amen, 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 amen. Power and might be unto my God. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all I can ever think. Wisdom, thanksgiving, yeah, yeah. Power and might be unto the Lord, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, yeah.
Power and might be unto the Lord.
You deserve it, love.
me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't. Desperate for you. I will worship and give the praise. seats upon the throne. I will worship you and keep the praise to you alone. You who were then have and still to come, I will sing before your throne forever. Forever. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure star I seek. You are my all in all. Oh, if you are the precious, you see you are the precious. Lord, you are available. You are mine.
You are my all.
Somebody lift your voice.
Lamb of God, worthy is your name. We are excited this morning. I just got my show for a couple of days, my ram's horn, and I've been practicing it. And this morning, for the first time, I was able to really get a real sounding trumpet out of it this morning. I'm just so excited, you know, just to blow the ram's horn. And this morning, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for this day. This day that we have never seen before, and surely we will never, ever see this day again. We ask you, O God, to touch the hearts and minds of the people, O God, Lord, that they might hear and that they might receive and that they might activate your word in their life. Lord, help us to walk worthy before you, Lord. Lord, we don't always get everything right, Lord Jesus. You know that we are not perfect, but only you are perfect. But we are striving for perfection. We ask you, O God, to forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, O God, according to 1 John 1 and 9, from all unrighteousness, Lord. Even as we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we are not fearing any evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Lord, we ask you to continue to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Anoint our head with oil. Cause our cup to overflow. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we ask you to bless this word. Bless this word, O God, as we speak this word this morning. Let someone hear, Lord. Let us record this word for that one that is hungry and thirsty. Lord, people will come that are hungry and thirsty. And those that are not hungry and thirsty will stay away. But we will still be here preaching and teaching the gospel. We are talking this morning about faithfully living for Christ and loving the brethren. You know, how many of you know that you can't really live for Christ if you hate the brethren? And you have today a lot of leaders that can't stand each other. Hallelujah. They believe the church belongs to them. I am talking. You know who I'm talking to. And you know what I'm talking about. You have a lot of leaders that believe the church belongs to them. They don't see themselves as watchmen. They don't see themselves as caretaker of the sheep until the true shepherd comes for his sheep. They say, it's my church. It's me and my wife's church. I remember when we started, and they will tell you, I remember when we started, we only had 5 members. We only had 3 members. They talk that stuff. But look at us today. We are doing great. They have pumped themselves up like they did something. Well, I could say, if I say like them, I remember when we started Blog Talk Radio by the unction of the Holy Spirit. I was my 7, evangelist Darlene Campbell, out of Mississippi. You know, all types of people. We had all people, a lot of people coming and was with us. And then so many come against us because they didn't believe that what we were doing was of God. And some tried to do all kind of stuff and cause all kind of ruckus against what God was doing. But you see, when God builds a house, the labor is not in vain. But except God builds a house, the labor is in vain. And this house of Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry is the house that God is building. God is building it. Regardless if people come or don't come, God is building this house. And people are listening from near and far. That's why we could go on the internet and we can raise money for another church, other members of the body of Christ in a different country, another country, because we are part of the body. If you're not part of the body, you're not going to give. That's the whole matter of the fact. Folk are not giving to help the orphans because they're not part of the body. All they're thinking about their own stuff. We need this and we need that. And I got to have this and I got to have that. The more they have, the more they need. The Bible says that's like gluttony, because you're never satisfied with what you have. So you constantly want more. And you don't give up of anything that you have, because what you have is yours. You want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about this matter that Lord put on my heart yesterday as I was looking through my computer and spot this in my notes. He talked about, this is a topic he gave me, faithfully living for Christ and loving the brethren. The brethren is every person that's part of the body. And even those that are outside the body, we got to love them in spite of. You know, we say, I can't love them because they're not a Christian. They're not saved. Well, Christ loved the ones that didn't know him, didn't even like him. As a matter of fact, they even crucified him. They nailed him on a wooden tree, on a cross. They nailed him on a cross, a tree. And they spat on him. They kicked him. They cussed him. They called him names that you would be mad if they called you. They called him all names that wasn't in the book because of what he was doing, the life he was living. He was representing the Father. And God wants us to represent him now. Jesus wants us to represent him now in this earth realm with love and with compassion, with mercy and grace. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So what must we extend to the people? Love and kindness. Even if they don't like us, even if they talk about us. Doesn't matter, they talk about Christ. My mama should say before she leave this world, she says, people would always talk about you. She said, they talk about Christ. They talk about Jesus. And who are you that you think that you're exempt from people talking about you? They're going to talk about you. So just praise God. So that means that they find you worthy. Listen to me. They find us worthy to spend all their time, their day, or part of their day, important part of their day talking about us, gossiping about us. So that's something you should rejoice about. Here in this scripture that we want to work today is in the book of Colossians chapter 3. And Paul says, therefore, if you have been raised together with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, or he returns to this earth, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. No. This is so powerful right here. Paul is saying, look, stop worrying about the things of in this earthly realm. We are so caught up with the materialistic things that we can't even see what's going on in the spirit. Satan is busy trying to kill our brothers and sisters, our family, in the body of Christ. And we can't even see that because we want to catch up. We want to get caught up with the Jeffersons. We want to get caught up with the Joneses. We want to be like the next door neighbor. We want to be better than the next door neighbor because the next door neighbor is driving a Lexus. So now you want a Lamborghini. You want a Ferrari. You understand what I'm saying? You want something that makes you look much better than your neighbor. Instead of trying to get your heart right with God, get your heart where it is pleasing to God. This should be our main objective, focusing on heaven and not on earth. But all of us do. You and I, we do from time to time. We get caught up in this earth realm, in the things of this earth. And Paul saying, set your mind. He says, seek those things above. In other words, set your mind on heavenly things, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on the things above. Listen, focus on heavenly things, things that last forever, will never fade away. Now, Paul begins to continue to work this word. Now, earlier Paul affirmed that the Colossians have been raised to new life in Christ. In chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, Paul emphasized that they have been changed. Now, excuse me, if your pastor is saying and bragging on you, well, Deacon Fraser, man, that young man is changing. I see his life changing. Yeah, Prophetess Misha is changing. God is doing a work in her life. Now, but if people are seeing after pastor, the bishop is saying these things, nice things about us, but when people see us, our actions does not match with what the pastor is saying, you make the pastor look like a liar. You see what I'm saying? Because pastor is saying that we are focused on living holy and godly, but guess what? We don't even love our brothers and sisters. Remember, the word today is faithfully living for Christ and loving the brethren. So here he says, Paul affirmed this in chapter 2. He says, bury with him who? In baptism. You know, we talk about baptism nearly every day here on, it's part of your salvation here on Blog Talk Electronic Church Line. Why? Because some people say, well, the thief on the cross with Jesus didn't get baptized. Well, he was in a different dispensation. But in this dispensation, we have to be baptized because it is part of your salvation. And Jesus said so in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He said that. Now, let me look for that verse quick. Mark 16. I know it's there in 16, but let me see the particular verse that he says. Chapter 16 of Mark, the last chapter. And keep your hand there in Colossians. Verse 16. I was right. Chapter 16, verse 16. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Hear what Jesus is saying. This is not Paul saying this. This is not Matthew saying this. This is not Mark or John or Peter or nobody saying this. This is Jesus himself saying this word. That if you're not baptized, don't get baptized. You're damned already in this dispensation. You're damned already. Now, Paul says here, bury with him in baptism, bury Christ, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. Verse 13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you your trespasses. See, God has quickened us. He quickened us through the washing of the blood, the cleansing of the blood, forgiven all our sins. Hallelujah. The blood that Jesus shed at the cross. And you know, sometimes we find it difficult to forgive someone else. Do you hear what I'm saying? And then some of us will go as far as say, I'm going to forgive her, I'll forgive him, but I sure ain't going to forget what he did to me. But you don't forgive him. You ain't forgive her. I've heard people say that. I used to say that when I was a youngster, and I didn't know no better. I didn't know any better. I would say, I'll forgive, you know, because it sounds good. I forgive her. I forgive him for what he did to me. But I ain't going to forget. I never going to forget. But you'll never forget. You'll never forgive him. Because as soon as they do something contrary to what you your expectation. Here you go back into that same. See what I told you? That's why I never forget what they did to me. But you can't move ahead. The person is already moving forward while you're stuck on stupid. We're still talking about faithfully living for Christ and loving the brethren. Now, in verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3, Paul is checking the Christians or the believers' lifestyle. He said, therefore put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, uncleanness, lustful passion, evil desire, and greediness, which is idolatry. Greediness is like idolatry. You are so greedy that it become like something that you're worshiping. You're worshiping the stuff that you're so eagerly desire. Paul says here, let's go back to verse 1. He said, raised together with Christ. Then he says, things above. Paul remarks here, echoes Jesus' instructions to seek first the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 6, 33. Paul is saying, look, if God said so, I can say so. And this is what we got to do. We have to seek the things that are above. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto us. A position of favor, honor, and authority in Psalm 110, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. In the Old Testament, God's right hand symbolized strength and salvation. Exodus chapter 15, verse 6, Psalm 20, verse 6. Now, things on earth, Paul probably has in mind the empty human traditions and worldly elemental forces he spoke against throughout chapter 2. Now, let's go back to verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, this refers to believers sharing in Christ's death through baptism. When we baptize, go down in the water, we are declaring to the people that are watching and looking and hearing and seeing that we have given our life completely over to Christ. No longer will we be living for ourselves, but like we will be faithfully living for Christ. And because we are living for Christ, we can love the brethren. Okay? Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Christ, who is your life? Paul underscores the significance of Christ for the believers. Jesus is not peripheral to life. He is life. He imparts God's life, and he is the center around which life should be oriented. So what we are living and what we are doing should be glorifying God. When people look and see us, they should see ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, put to death what is earthly in you. This thing that does not glorify God in us needs to be put to death. You know, you thinking about having sex with somebody that's not your husband. You think about taking something that's not yours, stealing. You carry this thing in you that if somebody say the wrong thing to you, you're going to cut them out. Oh, that's earthly. That's not of God. So Paul said, put that stuff to death. I bought this shofar because I believe in the book of Revelation talks about the trumpets, the seven trumpets. And the trumpet's going to sound. And the Bible also taught that when you blow the trumpet, that demons tremble, that sound. There's something about the trumpet, the ram's horn. It hurts the ears and shakes the demons. it makes them scatter. And I've never blown a ram's horn before. But the first one that I got was the horn of Samuel with the anointed horn, where he poured oil on David and other people and Saul and so on. Well, when I got the horn, and I told you yesterday how even family members discourage you, you know. And when I first got the horn, my wife and my granddaughter said, she says, "Oh, so then we're gonna wave like in the synagogue, we're gonna hear the horn." But my wife says, "Well, I try to blow because you have to get your lips a certain and get the muscles in your lips a certain way. The more you practice, the more your lips are gonna conform to the trumpet, to the horn." So she tried to discourage me and said, "Well, you know, you ain't gonna blow it like I'm not Jewish, you know, so I'm not gonna be able to blow the horn. You ain't have to be Jewish to blow the horn. You just gotta practice. You just gotta practice and get the essence to tell you in the book how to form your lips and so on." Well, I told the Holy Spirit, I got up this morning, I was praying. I said, "Holy Spirit, I want to blow that ram's horn. And I want you to help me to form my lips the right way to go." But I was blowing it going back and forth in the house. And I'm going to practice how to send out certain sounds, the triple sounds and the nine sounds of the trumpet and all that sound. I'm going to learn how to do it because why? I want to do it. And I know God's going to help me. See, if you want something and you ask God, God will do it for you. But God said we got to put aside all these things that did not give him glory. Put to death what is earthly. The list of sinful actions in this verse echoes the deeds of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. If you look there, you'll see it there. We have to put these things to death. But these things is what the flesh likes. The flesh adores things that does not glorify God. Even when you are trying to read the Bible or study the Bible, the flesh can come up with something. And in your mind, you're going to hear that flesh talk and say, "Well, why don't you do this? You don't need to read the Bible right now. Why don't you don't need to go on the prayer line. Why don't you do this?" The flesh is going to be saying all this stuff to you so that you don't study the Word of God. You understand? So you don't pray it. You know, we have prayer line, international prayer line on Friday night and Saturday night. Brother Deacon prayer line. He goes on everybody's line that he can go to. From the round table, the square table, everybody. Church in the air, he goes, our power, anybody he go to. And you hardly see them people come by to visit him. Because they think that he's not worthy for them to visit. That's all I can say. Because he don't have a PhD or he don't have a BA or so on. But God uses him to prophesy. God uses him to tell the truth, the uncompromising truth that flows from his heart. And this is what God wants, because God is saying for us, we got to put on that stuff. No. Verse 6 is, because of which the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. We have to obey what God is saying. Why? God does not want to destroy us with those that are disobedient. He wants us to obey him so that we can be saved, so we can live a life that would bring honor to him. This is what God wants. God's requiring this. No. Verse 7 says, in which also you once lived, when you used to live in them, but now you also lay aside all these things: anger, rage, wickedness, slander, abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, because you have taken off the old man together with his deeds and have put on the new man that is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. No. We are putting on this newness of life. Paul talks about the newness of life in chapter 16 of Romans. We are putting on this newness. I always say that we are not there yet. We have not arrived yet. But each day we are putting on a little bit more newness than yesterday. So we know that every time that we try to get up, the enemy is trying to push us down. This is why Paul is saying, don't lie to one another. Don't misuse one another. Don't abuse one another. Don't slander one another. Don't be abusive. Hallelujah. You have folk that can preach and teach the gospel. that can sing, that can play the keyboard, and their husband and wife. As soon as they leave that sanctuary, they're fussing in the car on the way to home. On the way to all you can eat, on your way to the chicken place, they're fussing with each other in the car. But in the presence of the people, they act like they're so holy and so pious. And God said, you don't fool me, because I see you when you're not in the midst of the people. I see you all the time. He said, life, if believers misled one another by communicating falsely, the trust within the community will be broken or taken off. Colossians chapter 3 and 10. No. Here, I have put on the new man that is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. I'm putting on this knowledge according to God. Hallelujah. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, neither Gentile nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Cyprian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, I want you to get that. There's no difference. Don't let nobody tell you that they're better than you because they got a doctorate degree. If you got Christ, you're as good. Now, let me say it's good. You are the same as the rest that have him. But on here, the Greek text of Colossians uses the imagery of changing one's clothes to illustrate Christ's transformation work in believers' lives. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Being renewed, the Greek word used here, anakeno, refers to the process of becoming new, which is ongoing for the believer. Now, you just don't get all brand new at one time. But I say it all the time, we are changing from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Each day, God is adding a little bit more onto us. He is showing us a little bit. He's doing much more with us each day. This is why it's so important for us to get to that place where God is being worshipped. I'm not talking about the God of this world. I'm talking about Yeshua, Yahweh, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shabbat, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Adonai. We want to get to that place where he is being worshipped, the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the righteous one of Israel. We want to be at that place. Paul now appeals to the believers' behavior. As Paul is pointing out these points, God has shown Paul all this. Number one, true knowledge reflects the image of the Creator. Compare the opening of Christ's hymn in chapter 1, which identifies Christ as both the image of God and the agent of creation. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 15 and 16. Paul also states that divine wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 3. The Greek word used here, Hellen, is an ethnic term denoting the people of Greece. Paul sometimes uses this term as its synonym for Gentiles, non-Jews. Circumcision or no circumcision or uncircumcision, another way of referring to Jews, those who are circumcised according to the law, and Gentiles, those who are not. Barbarians, a person considered uncultured, according to the Grecian Roman standards. Those who did not speak Greek or Latin and who practice foreign customs or traditions. Scythian, like barbarians, Scythians were typically regarded as uncivilized people. Christ is all. The standard categories of race and social status that normally divide people do not apply to those who are in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and 23. They are equally. They are equal. There is equality. Excuse me. We are the same. This is what Paul is saying. There's no difference between us. We are the same. I may have a title or a gift as an apostle. You may be just an usher. But you are in Christ, and we are the same. I just have the gift because the title, because he have called me out from darkness into this light to share light to the world, to tell the truth and not to compromise the truth. Hallelujah. No. Verse chapter 12. Therefore, as the chosen of God, holy and dearly beloved, put on affection, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Paul says, as you are called, knowing that you are called, that you have been chosen, you have to put on the very characteristics of Jesus Christ, the attributes of Christ. You have to put them on. It's just like he's using this analogy of garments, of putting on new garments. This is Paul using this. Children of God, originally God chose the nation of Israel to be his people in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. However, because such distinctions are rendered irrelevant in Christ, Colossians chapter 3:11, Paul affirms the Colossian believers as being among God's chosen people. Chapter 1, Colossians 1 and 12, and verse 21 and 22. Now, putting up with one another. Well, now memory says that we are faithfully living for Christ and loving the brethren. Then here's what Paul is talking about here. Verse 13 of Colossians chapter 3. He says, putting up with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint against anyone, just as also the Lord gave you, that's also you do the same. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, do unto others as you will have them do unto you. I mean, if you want them to treat you well, treat them well. Putting up with one another, believers must have patience with one another, even while enduring difficult situation, forgiving one another. Even in the community of believers, the actions of some offend or hurt others. How believers respond is critical. Experiencing God's forgiveness shows that believers must forgive one another. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. Verse 15. And the peace of Christ must rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. No. If you are truly sanctified, meaning that you are truly set apart from this world, the Bible says you are in this world, but you are not of this world. Paul says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Come up from among them and be separated and touch not the unclean thing. He said, I receive you unto myself. That's how in Corinthians. No. The peace. The Greek word used here, erein, refers to wholeness or the absence of conflict in a relationship. Now, if we are in Christ Jesus, this peace will be in us. It will be able to be seen. Also, it will be able to be heard. When we speak, people will know that we have the peace of God ruling and reigning on the inside of us. Do you hear me today? It's Paul said that we must be thankful. We must be thankful. Paul commands the Colossians to express gratitude for the things they have and the people in their lives. Gratitude is a safeguard against grumbling and complaining, both of which can ruin a community. Now, in verse 16, Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving, with thankfulness in your heart to God. Now, if we have this peace of God that Paul is talking about here in Colossians, we will experience this anointing on the inside of us that will cause us to rejoice. You're not going to sing if you don't have the joy on the inside. Hey, you get to hear somebody trying to sing in their sad. Oh, it's like pain to your ear gates. You don't want to hear them. But when a person have joy in their heart and they're singing, you begin to weep. You begin to get joyful. You have a joyful tear in your eye because the song that's coming out of them is coming from a good place. The word of Christ refers either to gospel message about Christ or to Christ's teaching, as opposed to human philosophy and our tradition, Colossians 2 and 8. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs refers to a variety of songs used in Christian worship, probably including the Old Testament Psalms, verse 17 of Colossians chapter 3. And everything whatsoever you do in word or in deed, giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus to God the Father through him. Paul said, now be grateful. Have some gratitude. Be excited about what God has given you, what God has done for you, what he's doing for you. Name the name of the Lord Jesus. Here he says, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus to God the Father through him. We should be excited to praise God. Here Paul now begins to talk about relationship. Remember he says, faithfully living for Christ and loving the brethren. So here in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 18, Paul begins to talk about relationships, husband and wife, brothers and sisters. He said, wives, be subject to your husband as it is fitting in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Don't treat them bad. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children so that they will not become discouraged. Slaves, obey your human masters in everything, not while being watched as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Now, even when we are working, we have to be doing what we are doing as unto the Lord. Don't work, try to do the best job or a good job or a great job when your boss is watching. You know, I remember when I first worked at a restaurant here in Boston, before I became a short order cook. Man, when the head cook was in the kitchen, come in the kitchen, man, I would be doing everything. I was dishwashing. I was making sure I cleaned the big pans and all that stuff that cooked the London broils and stuff, the steaks and stuff, and the spare ribs. I make sure I was scrubbing that stuff, man, the sweat dropping off of me, because the kitchen is very hot. And then the chef, because he saw me proving myself to be a good worker, he said, "Well, David, you can come in the kitchen, come in here, behind here, and watch what I do, so you can learn to cook. So one day you can become a short order cook." Well, I started cooking on Sunday mornings for cooking breakfast, egg benedicts, and all that kind of stuff we were doing, and steak and eggs and stuff I was doing. But I was doing to get to that position. When he saw me, I was doing more than I was doing when he was asleep watching me. And this is what God said that time. When the boss can't see you, still got to be doing good. You still got to do as though you know that God is watching you. Some people, they're very nice to their husband, very nice to their wife when there's other people around. Preferably when leaders of the gospel around, they treat their husband right, they treat their wife right. They respond to their wife in a very nice, romantic way. Very loving way. But when there's nobody around, they're shouting at the wife, shouting at their husband, you know. And that's not what it's supposed to be. We got to know that God is watching us at all times. He's watching us. He says, Paul transitioned his address from the Christians' assembly to the household. Together, these represent the two most important social settings where believers can show the transformation power, transformative power of the gospel. Now, when folks see the gospel, when the gospel changes your life and my life and changing our life can be seen. You can tell when someone is being changed. When that they are developing the very essence of who Christ is. You can see it by the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they treat other people. Or you can see well, I am a Holy Ghost filled, I'm tongue-talking, I'm a born-again believer, I'm fire-baptized. But as soon as somebody says something to you, you snap their head off. You talk to them like they're not even a human being. Because they don't walk like you, don't talk like you, may not be able to release the word the way you release the word. They can't talk the scripture the way you talk. If you talk to them and treat them like they're nobody, like you think you got it together. And the Bible doesn't tell us. None of us got it together. Even Paul that everybody talked about. People like more to talk about Paul than talk about Jesus. I talk about it when I'm teaching his word. His epistles. But I like to talk about Jesus. I like to preach about Jesus. Because that's the one my eyes are on. My eyes are on him. My ears are open to him. Hallelujah. If you are serving Christ, if you are living for Christ and loving the brethren, love is going to be seen for real. Paul says, be subject. Paul is not saying that a wife ought to respond to her husband with mindless obedience. Being subject to one spouse should be voluntary. Voluntary. And conscious. Submission in marriage is not demeaning. It is informed by God. It is informed by God's relationship to the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. He talks about love. Love is, in this context, to love agapia means to put the needs and interests of others before your own. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul represents Christ's sacrificial death on behalf of the church as the model of love that husbands should have for their wives. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Now, in Colossians chapter 3 and 20, it states that children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing in the Lord. Now, obey the parents reflects the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land. And you notice that a lot of times when kids are disobedient to their parents, that they don't live long. They don't live long. Most of them will die in the streets. They will run back and forth through the prison cells and the jail cells. And some would have short lives. And if they do live a long life or an extended life, you will find out that their life is miserable. They have no joy because they do not honor, they didn't honor their doesn't or don't honor their parents. Paul talks about slaves. Paul includes slaves in his discussion of the family because they were considered members of the Gracia Roman household. Colossians chapter 4 and 1. Slavery in the first century. Fearing the Lord refers to having a profound reverence for God, especially for his authority and commands. in the book of Proverbs, fear of Yahweh is equated with the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 and 10. Now in Colossians chapter 3 and 4 and 24, which is the last scripture, hallelujah, Paul says, because, let's go back to 23. Whatever you do or accomplish it from the soul as to the Lord and not to people. Because, 24, because you know that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Serve the Lord Christ. For the one who does wrong will receive back whatever wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Now, this is so powerful. This is so powerful. Glory to God. Paul says, the inheritance, the property received by a child or descendant from a deceased parent. Partiality, God does not make unfair distinctions between people, treating some better than others. Therefore, he does not condone the use of social status or identity in Christ as license for wrongdoing. Now, you hear what it says? This is what God is saying to us today. Let me go in here. I want to give you about 30 more minutes of this teaching so that you can really get what God is saying to us today. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have to live our life for Christ. And living your life, living our lives for Christ, simply mean that we're going to face some obstacles, oppositions. We're going to face them in this walk. Everybody will not be in agreement with us. Do you hear what I'm saying? Everyone will not be in agreement with us. Everyone will not like what we're doing. But in spite of how they respond to us, we still have to do what we are called to do. You understand what I'm saying? We have to know that God is first in everything that we say, in everything that we do. He is first. We do what we do because God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has bestowed upon us the gift of everlasting life. As we continue to walk in the light. As we continue to walk in this light, he bestows upon us this anointing of eternal life. That even when the enemy comes against us, he has to turn back. Because when he comes, he sees the blood. He sees that we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Once you know that, you don't walk and push your chest up, but you walk with assurance, knowing who you are and whose you are. Glory to God. And at the same time, you are expelling love. Love is coming out of you. The love of Christ is coming forth out of you as a child of God, as a believer. You're not walking puffed up proud like you're the only one going to heaven. You know, some people act like that. Like they're the only one going to heaven. Now I'm going to heaven. I don't care what nobody says. I'm going to heaven. No. Paul here in Colossians chapter 3, let's go back to 12 and 13. And Paul stressed a very powerful point here. He said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So you must forgive. And we're talking about faithfully living for Christ and loving the brethren. The very fact that Paul urges us to press, the very fact that Paul urges us to dress ourselves with these virtues signifies that none of us has arrived spiritually. All of us are flawed, deficient, and weak in some respect. As we yield and develop these virtues, we must be forbearing and forgiving toward our brothers on the basis of Christ's example and forbearance and mercy towards us. The enabling power of God's Spirit is already within us, or this exhortation would be in vain. Now, Paul is saying that God has already given us the ability to operate in this virtue of forgiveness. If not, he would not have said it. His word would be useless. It can be done if we will choose to humble ourselves and act when we become aware of the need of a brother or of the church itself. God calls upon us here not merely to act, but to do it with affection. In other words, when we come to helping a brother, don't do it as a sign of want to be seen. Don't do it because you hear somebody say do it. But do it with love from your heart as God has done for you and I. Hallelujah. In all cases, we must let our heart dictate to our hand. To let our most tender feelings encounter the miseries of those in distress, just as Christ did in descending to clothe himself in clay. We need to let our feelings be at hand and readily touch that we might open our hands wide to help. No. When I got this message from Apostle David Aduka, I guess that's the way he pronounced his name, from Ghana, that the kids in Africa, this is a rainy season in Ghana, and pretty much all over Africa, and they need a rain so they can grow their own food. He needed help because the kids were sleeping in the place on the dirt, the clay dirt. And he's making, you see all the lumber on the picture, he got a lot of wood there that he's making these bunk beds, you know, place to hold the bed frames. And he needs beds for the kids. Well, the Lord had me to gravitate to his response, to his needs. And I put it on Facebook. Put it on Messenger. And before I could get it on Messenger, good, Evangelist LaWanda, I think that's how we pronounce her name. She, LaWanda, out of New Orleans, Louisiana. I posted this up with my Cash App. And she sent $50. She wasn't even a member of Blog Talk Radio Church Live. But she's one of my friends. She had promised Misha. And because she sent the $50, two other people sent $90. So we got $140 so far. And I'm going to put $200. I didn't mean to say that, but I'm going to put $200 to help them. See, This is from the heart. I'm not saying that for you to pat me on my back. I'm saying that because God allows us to do what he needs done. We are his hands in the earth. But if we're just doing things just to be seen on earth, don't do them. Don't do them. And don't do them grudgingly, that when you finish doing it, you wonder, well, I give away a couple hundred dollars. I don't know why I did. Don't do that. This world has hardened us. This world has hardened us. We have seen so much arrogance and cruelty that God warns that at the end people will be without natural affection. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, King James Version. Where are this end time generation? We are this end time generation. And we must go a long way even to start to be like Christ in kindness. But we can do it. Perhaps we can liken beginning to be like this, to learning to swim by just jumping in. Kindness is something that we must develop. And we cannot do it because God has already enabled, and we can do it because God has already enabled us by his Spirit. This fruit is especially sweet tasting and a major factor in producing unity. We say we want unity in the body. But guess what? We are not exhibiting the fruit of unity that we need. We don't have compassion, majority of us. Don't have love. Don't have kindness. Don't extend mercy. As soon as something happens, we want to kill people. We want to put people in prison, in jail. We want to bury them alive because we don't have this kindness, this mercy and grace that is supposed to be in our hearts. It looks like something that came by after God gave it to us and blocked it out. Covered over so that it didn't manifest in us. Hallelujah. Never forget God's character, his example, and this promise he has given to us in Isaiah chapter 54 and 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from me, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. God, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Did you hear me? He have mercy on us. Why is it so difficult for us to extend mercy and grace to other people? Why is it so difficult for us to help the children in Africa? Why is it so hard? We want to have businesses. Listen to me. A lot of us want to have our own business. We want to have our own business. We want people to bless us. Do you hear me? Pray for us. All we want to do is have. Give me. When you are asking people to pray for you, you're asking for something. For somebody to give a prayer, send them a prayer for you. But you don't never have time to give to the poor. You give to your family, to your sons, to your daughters, to your nieces and nephews, and all that's close to you, because it's like you're poor no more. But what about the needy out there that God said that we must extend to the needy? We must help the poor. What about them? We forget the scripture that God said when you give to the poor, you lend to him. We forget that he said, giving it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. We forget about these scriptures. We forget about them. The only ones we want to remember is when we need God to bless us. We want the prophet, the pray, the preacher, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher to pray for us. Because one swimming pool is not enough. You want two swimming pools. A two-car, three-car garage is not enough. You want a four-car garage. A five-bedroom house is not enough. You want an eight-bedroom house. We can only sleep in one room at a time. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 says, we read this before. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul makes this thing very clear. Don't focus on this stuff that's on the earth. And this is what we get, because all the more we get. In reality, every leader follows someone who trod the path before him. We follow Christ. Though we cannot literally see him, we walk with him. We're talking about faithfully living for Christ and loving the brethren. Coming out of Colossians chapter 3, I took the first 13 verses, but I went all the way to the end, to verse 25. The Lord took me there. Now, though we cannot literally see him, we walk with him. However, we can read what he did and taught, because God had provided us a faithful witness of what we need to follow to be prepared to serve under him in his kingdom. We must faithfully abide by what we are shown in the word. God promises he will be faithful in Deuteronomy 7 and 9. The apostle Paul declared God is faithful in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. Both Jesus and Moses were declared faithful in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And all of those leaders named in Hebrews chapter 11 were faithful in their names, in their times of service. Now is our time to walk faithfully beside them. To be faithful is to be trustworthy, reliable, responsible in all interactions with both God and men. What must we do? What must we follow? The same basic things the heroes of faith did. It is easy to say we must keep God's commandments, which is certainly true. However, notice that those great leaders of the past are all mentioned for accomplishing some task, more specific than keeping the commandments. Keeping the commandments is a general responsibility for all. And doing so is important in itself. Yet, each leader also achieved a specific responsibility. Abel made a sacrifice. Enoch walked with God. Noah built an ark. Abraham offered Isaac. Moses stood fast before Pharaoh, etc. We need to understand our calling to be more specific and distinct than being merely one of a multitude in the church. How specific it is for each called individual is not yet known. Even so, being individually and personally called by the Father is awesome all by itself. The Apostle Paul shows in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we must not think our calling is merely random, or coincidence. Such thinking glorifies neither God, genius, nor his magnanimous generosity in stooping to call us. God is following a plan. He is creating a family team. And within his actions, nothing happens by chance, not even our calling. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into the one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After this, that miracles. Then gifts and healings. Helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 13, verse 18, and verse 27 to 31. God is expanding his family, the church. And at the same time, filling positions of responsibility. Let's read that again. God is expanding his family, the church, and at the same time filling positions of responsibility to be faithfully performed by the elect. The church is called and formed as a body of people led by the Holy Spirit to do works representing God. There is undoubtedly some overlap in what the elect are required to achieve. But plainly, everyone does not perform exactly the same specific responsibility. No employer, be it a large corporation or an individual entrepreneur, looks for potential employees who cannot perform the available position. No one, when first converted to God, is prepared to perform the task he has in mind for them. But each one has the potential to do just that if he will submit to the training God assigns. God is calling, training, and fitting us into the body to follow Christ faithfully wherever he leads. God is calling, training, fitting us into the body to follow Christ faithfully wherever he leads. Very important that we understand this. God is calling us. God is placing us. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have stopped there today. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. And we pray, O God, that you bless those that came on today with us to hear this word. We ask, Father God, even as we close out this message today, that as the word going forth through the airways, that, Lord, we know you said it will not return void. And we thank you, Father, for being faithful, faithful to who you are. Your Spirit is mighty in power, mighty in love and mercy and grace. We thank you, Father God, that you never give us what we deserve, but you always give us what we need. Oh, God, we ask today that we close out this service, oh, God, but not from your presence. We ask, Father God, that you bless each and every one that heard this word today and those that would hear this word. And even those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, we want to give them an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, 11, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and 8 that God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A-double-L, not you and not me, but all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And that just means we fall short of the commands, the instructions that God has laid down for mankind to walk in. We have fallen short of those. And God says he's given us an opportunity to come back. He says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, because we have fallen short and we have been living in sin, God says that we would die the spiritual death. Yes, we all know that we would die a physical death. Even if you walk in upright before him, you would die a physical death. But you will not die a spiritual death. You will die a spiritual death if you do not surrender, submit, and commit, and if you don't repent, you will die a spiritual death. So God loved us so much that he gave us a second chance. What are you talking about, Apostle? He gave us a second chance when he has made up his mind that he would redeem mankind from this sinful world by sending his only son to die in this earth realm, to die a sinner's death on a cross. And he came and laid down his life. He said, I laid down my life that I might take it up. No one took his life from him. He laid it down. He had the power to lay it down, and he had the power to take it up. So he came, he was judged, condemned, and hung on a cross to give you and I a second chance, a chance to come to the Father, come to the Father with repentance and ask him to forgive us. Only the blood gives us that entrance, that we could come to the Father in the precious name of Jesus and ask for forgiveness. And the Father is so faithful and just, according to the word of God, that he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as I said, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible said it very clearly in Romans chapter 3 and 23. But the Bible says in John chapter 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's talking about you and me. We are the world. All of us are the world. We form the world. And God sent his son to redeem us out of darkness back into the light that Adam and Eve had in the garden of Eden. He sent his son so we would have access to that place again. We can come into fellowship with him again through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we read the scripture today in Mark chapter 16, and it said Jesus told him to go into all the world. You know, we were not to stand still and stay in that building and act like we got it together, because that's what these fancy preachers do. They stay up in the building with their fancy suits and robes and apostle ring and bishop ring and pastor ring and evangelist ring and all that stuff. You know how they do. And they walk around with their chest pushed high like they're all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. But he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God has given us power. This was not just for the the apostle or the disciples. It's for all of us that call upon his name and that walk right before him. He said, no good thing will he withhold from us. This is a good thing. And God said he wants us to have this. He wants us to exhibit this power, this authority that he has given to the church. God wants us to do it. But the first thing you have to do, according to Acts 2 and 38, the first thing you have to do is that you have to repent. All of us. And I recommend repenting every single day. Every day, every morning when you wake up, start your day off with repentance. Don't act like you did a good job yesterday, a great thing yesterday, so you can get up and start your day walking, going, get in your car, start your BMW, and head to work. Or if you may be working from home and you got your office in your basement or your office upstairs or downstairs, wherever your office is, don't act like you got it together. Get up, ask the Lord to forgive you. Tell the Lord that you've been living your life in a sinful manner, and that you're repenting. And you want to turn from everything that distracts you, delay you, and keep you from him. Tell him. This is what he wants. He wants you to be honest with him. Some of us sometimes think that God don't understand. He knows everything. He knows everything. I tell you the truth. God knows everything. Don't think that God don't know that what we're going through, what we're doing, or what we're not doing. He knows it all. When you bring before him, you put yourself in the place of being forgiven, that you can be forgiven. You know, don't act like you're tricking God. You can't trick God. He knows all. So for those that don't know him as Lord and Savior, take this opportunity right now and repeat this prayer with me before I go to here. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for allowing me to come on this here Blog Talk Church line and hearing your son, your servant, minister this word. And Lord, I am convicted right now in my spirit that I needed to live, get my life in order. I needed to come, get closer to you. Lord Jesus, I believe what the scripture said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that you was crucified and that you died on the cross called Calvary, on a hill called Golgotha, or the skull. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth right now. And I'm asking, Lord Jesus, to forgive me my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, even as I denounce Satan right now and all of his agents, I am asking you to forgive me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Live on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I receive you now according to your word. And I believe that even right now that I'm being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, Lord. And Lord, I take on all of your attributes, your characteristics right now. I take them all on right now. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for making me whole, for making me clean again. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Well, if you said that prayer and you believe in your heart, because it's all about faith, believing, you have just received the gift of salvation. In Jesus' holy name we pray. If no one has a word, the line is open for anyone that wants to respond. The line is open now. The line is open. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to close up. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word. O God, we ask that the word, we know the word is blessed already. It's going off to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Father, we know it will not return void. We ask you to touch Apostle Millie's sister, touch Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop Washington, Deacon Fraser, Evangelist Campbell, Minister Andir Batmush, Evangelist Sheila, Evangelist Brown, Pastor Brown, Lord, Prophetess Misha, Prophetess Jackie, oh God, Deacon Fraser, his mother, his father, Lord, touch all those that need a touch today, Lord God. Lord, we ask today that you move by your spirit today and you begin to consume us with your spirit right now. Lord, we need more of you and less of us. We are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, Lord. We ask you to enter in right now and take control of our heart. Lead us and guide us into all truth, oh God. Our desire is to be closer to you, Lord, because you are our God, you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer, and we need you more and more each day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now, Father, we ask that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Bless us when we come, O God, and bless us when we go. We ask you, Father God, you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. Make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And Father, we are praying for this global currency reset to take place, Lord, that we can be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us, that we can bless the fatherless, the homeless, the widows, O God, and the orphans, O God. We pray, Father, that you touch the hearts of men and women all over this place. Whoever see the post on Facebook, that they will go in and that they will sow seeds. So no matter how small it is or how big it is, that we can send to the apostle over in Ghana to buy the beds, O God, and even buy food that the kids can eat, food that they can eat, some chicken, maybe some fish and rice and so on. And Lord, we just pray right now that you help us to help them, Lord. And Father, as you do this, we continue to praise your name. We continue to bless you. And even if you don't do it, Lord, we still praise you because you have already done more than enough. Now, as we leave this line, but not your presence, O God, we pray the blessings of, we pray, O God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, we continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Bless the saints today as they go into the house to worship. Lord, cover the United States of America. Cover the president, the vice president of Congress, the senators, oh God, and all those in position of authority. Cover the Supreme Court, Justice Department, the local magistrates, and Lord, governors and mayors. Lord, cover them, Lord God, and cover their families. Lord, we ask you to cover Africa and India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran. Cover Jerusalem, cover Israel, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you touch France, touch Italy, touch Denmark, touch Australia, touch Brazil. Oh God, touch all the Caribbean islands, oh God. We pray for Canada and the Prime Minister over there that is acting a fool. We pray, Father God, that you touch the hearts of men and women that's in power and authority, the Queen and all of her people. Lord, we pray right now, God, because you have the King's heart in your hand. And Father, as you move, you turn it wherever you choose. So Lord, we ask you to touch those in authority that they will not misuse the poor, oh God, and the weak, oh God. And Father, we ask you right now this in Jesus' name. And I believe this line, God, we speak blessings, we speak healing, we speak deliverance, Lord, we speak restoration. What the enemy thought was impossible, Lord, we know you make it possible right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen and amen in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day, people of God. We bless you and God bless you. We love you, but God loves you more.